All right, if you will open your Bibles to the book of Colossians, we're going to preach a few minutes. Amen. I'm going to preach out of the book of Colossians, chapter number 3. Colossians chapter 3. Good to have you here with us this morning. If you're a visitor, we're glad to have you. Amen. If you're a member, glad to have you too. Amen. Members are expected and visitors are welcome. Amen. I'll read one verse of Scripture and I'm going to do something a little bit different this morning. I'm going to read out of the Bible and preach from the hymn book. Ain't that weird? I'm going to read out a verse of Scripture and I'm going to take a hymn. I did this one other time. I preached out of Just As I Am. I'm going to take a hymn and preach out of the hymn. Amen. Colossians 3:16 said, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." The hymn in your hymn book, I don't even know what page it is, but it's the hymn, "Lord, I'm Coming Home." I looked in our hymn book. It's actually got 6 verses. You can look at it if you want to. You don't have to, but you can. In our hymnal, it shows 4 verses, but in the original hymn, it's got 6 verses. And there's a lot in that hymnal, in that hymn, in that song. And the amazing part about this song, there's a lot of preaching in that, a lot of preaching in that song. And that's what I'm going to preach about. "Lord, I'm coming home." There's probably somebody here this morning that needs to come home to the Lord. The amazing part about the story of the song is there was a man who was in the, he was a music man. He was in the music business. He was a singer, and he was a music major, and he was in the evangelistic field, and he had a soloist that sang for him, and he realized that this soloist wasn't saved, and so he wrote this song specifically for this soloist. And one night in the evangelistic meeting, the man that sang the song, the soloist, got up and began to sing this song, and as he began to sing it, he got under conviction and got saved. I thought, glory to God, what a powerful testimony. And I'll tell you what, brother, them old songs out of the hymn book, brother, I tell you, they got some power to them. That's why I like them. They're inspired. I'm telling you, they got the power of God on them. Let's jump right into this. The first stanza in this song tells us of the path of the wanderer. It says, "I've wandered far away from God, the paths of sin too long I've trod." The Bible said, Proverbs 4:26, "Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy paths be established. Turn not the right foot, the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." Brother, listen, I'll tell you, too many people have wandered away from the path of right. Brother, when you start wandering, you start getting away from God. Brother, I'll tell you what, you'll wander and you'll stray away from God. And that first stanza tells us that you wander from God, and you'll get like that prodigal son. You start wandering and you get off track and you start getting off that beaten path. And boy, I'll tell you, I've been there before. And a lot of Christian people get that way. And a lot of people get that way from just getting away from the right and from getting away from what's true and from getting they're kind of like a person on the sea that don't have a compass and they don't have the right instrument to tell them the right way. Oh, like old Jonah, you know, over in the Old Testament, Bible said, God told him, he said, "Go down there to Nineveh and preach to that crowd. They're going to die and they're going to bust hell wide open." But he went down there and he boarded a ship and went the other way, and the Bible said he started going down. He went down to Nineveh, and he went down into a ship, and he went down into the bottom of that boat, and they went cast him down into the sea. He went down into the ocean and went down into the bottom of that fish's belly, and brother, he went down into the depths of hell. And when you start to wonder, you start going down, and you go down, and you keep going down, and you keep going down, and you keep going down, and the path of the wanderer is down. It always goes down. It keeps going down. The path leads to sin. It leads to self. It leads to suffering. It leads to sorrow. And it leads to sadness. It never leads to anything good. A man left to himself will always come to destruction. The Bible said in the book of Judges that every man did what was right in his own himself and let him wander, he'll get himself in trouble. That's why you got to put cows in a pasture, or horses, or goats, or dogs. You leave animals to themselves, and they'll wander, and they'll get themselves in trouble. That's the way people were the same way. You don't have any boundaries and no limits, and brother, you'll wander, and the next thing you know, you'll be in trouble. That's right. And brother, that's the path of the wanderer. You always pay. You always pay dear. It's a terrible price you have to pay when you wander away from God. It said, I've wandered far away from God. The path of sin, too long I've trod. You wander away from God and you'll start paying. Amen. Sooner or later, you'll pay. You'll pay now or you'll pay later.
Amen.
The path of sin, you'll pay for it. Preacher, I'm going to live it up. You might live it up, but you won't live it down.
Amen.
You'll pay for it. Path of the wanderer is what that first stanza tells us about. But the second stanza tells us the past of the wasted. It said, I've wasted many precious years. Now I repent with bitter tears. The past of the wasted is the days of his youth. Psalm 89:45 said, the days of his youth hast thou shortened, thou hast covered him with shame. Too many waste their precious years and waste precious time. Oh, listen, I've preached my life. I've preached my entire adult life to young people because I've seen them throw their life away. And when you get to 45 or 50 or 55 or 60, you can't get it back. I think too many people are under the false impression, all I got to do, I can live it up, have a good time, have fun. But the preacher said, all you got to do is quote 1 John 1:9. That's right, you can run down the altar and pray a quick prayer and say, God, forgive me and confess your sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us. But those wasted years are gone. You can't get them back.
Amen.
They're gone.
Amen.
They're gone. You understand that, don't you? Preacher, why do you always harp on that? Why do you always? Because there's people sitting here today will say amen to the fact you've wasted some of your life and you're still sitting here regretting it.
Amen.
Can't get it back. It's gone. He said, I've wasted many precious years. Now I repent with bitter tears. Yeah, too many waste their years. Precious time, can't get it back. Remembering remorse. When you first got saved, you remember as you look around how far, remember how far back, you remember all those, how good it was when you first got saved, and now you look back and remember how you look back and it seems like you've drifted away from your course and you've got off course a little bit and it ain't like it used to be. I know I'm preaching a little bit hard this morning, but you'll appreciate it someday. Maybe you've thrown things away that you shouldn't have. I've seen families pull out of church and looking for something different, something new, and something exciting, and maybe looking for a better youth program and go to a different church because they got a rock band or got a better playground or maybe they got something more exciting for the kids. They take the kids to Six Flags a couple times a year or something like that, or maybe they got something more exciting for the youngins and run into them 2 or 3 years down the road, and you can still look at the looks on their faces, and you can tell, well, they've wasted some years and some things. They've given up. It's a trade-off, I tell you that. I'd rather sit under some old-fashioned, old-time Holy Ghost, King James Bible preaching than to have all the worldly, all the trinkets and all the toys that the world has to give. Those wasted years, the years of those, well, the past, the wasted years you can't get back. Remorse, you don't have to pay for those things if you don't do it, but you weep those bitter tears. Waste those precious time, you waste precious talent, and you waste precious treasures that you can't get back. I've seen those people and I've met them years later and they look at you with that hollow, empty look. They say, preacher, wish I'd have stayed in church. Y'all heard me say it over and over. And I know you get tired of it sometimes, but I'm trying to help some of you.
Amen.
And they always say the same thing. I almost just feel like shaking them. And they say, preacher, our trouble started when we started missing church.
Amen.
We missed a Wednesday night every now and then, and a Sunday night, and then occasionally on a Sunday. And then it wasn't long, we started missing here and missing there. And then we just quit church altogether. And then we changed churches. We got into a big church where they wouldn't miss us as much. And now we don't even go to church. And I went to God, we'd have stayed in church and give up all that other stuff.
Amen.
We wasted some years.
Amen.
Now we repent with bitter tears. Can't get it back. Amen? Oh, yeah. The third stanza tells us of the problem of the weary. He said, I'm tired of sin and straying, Lord. I'll trust thy love and believe thy word. The problem of the weary, Proverbs 13, 15 said, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. The way of the transgressor is hard. It gets worse from here. When you get out of church, get out of the will of God, it goes downhill, brother. When you first get out of the church and get out of the will of God, I mean, the devil makes you think it's fun. I don't know why I'm preaching this. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if somebody's thinking about quitting or not. But when you first backslide, it feels good at first because you just get out from under everything. And I'm tired of all them rules and going to church and reading my Bible. I tell you, I just like to quit and get out of it. Get out of all the pressure. Do you know every preacher that's ever preached feels that way? I talked to a preacher recently. His pastor was a good church. I'm in a good church with a big crowd, and he gets a big salary. He said, he told me, he said, if I could find a way to make another living doing something else, I'd quit tomorrow. I said, join the club, Jack. Yeah. But after you've done a show live and that's all you know to do, you can't do nothing else. Amen. That's right. That's all you've ever done is preach. You can't make a living doing nothing else. At our age, you're all broke down, messed up. That's all you've done is scream at people. You can't. What else you going to do? Sell cars? Hey, you come over here and buy this truck. Praise God. It's a good. You can't do that. You're stuck. And nobody going to hire you because they're probably scared. The church is going to want you. You're going to go back doing that anyway. Amen. Amen. But I know the feeling, brother. And here's what I'm saying. I'm just saying, listen, it takes the problem of the weary is this. The Bible said the way of a transgressor is hard. And sometimes you feel like you just get out of it and quit. And it might feel good at first to get out from under the stress of it all, but it goes downhill. Amen. What are you going to do with your life? What are you going to do? World ain't going to have nothing to do with you. That guy's a Christian. I know how them people are. Church can't fellowship with you. You don't fit in with them, you don't fit in with them out there either. God ain't going to fellowship with you. The devil don't want you. He's already got you. He can walk off and leave you. So you don't fit in nowhere, really. You're a square peg in a round hole. Nobody wants you. Nobody wants you. Amen? You don't fit in with the church crowd or the world. You really think you can go back to the bar and do the honky-tonk now? You really think you can shake your booty now after you've done been in church singing in the choir? You can't. It ain't the same no more. You can't go. You can't drink beer now. You can't shake your booty and it do the same thing for you. Amen. You might try, but it won't work. Amen. Amen. You try it and see, brother. Amen. You think I'm kidding you? Yeah. I ain't tried it, but I guarantee you it wouldn't work. So I can do this up here preaching. That don't even feel right. I can do the cabbage patch. It don't even feel right. I can do the sprinkler. That don't even feel right. Amen. The prodigal son wasted time and energy and misery away from home and his father and Savior. That's the problem of the weary. He said, I'm tired of sin and straying. After a while, you just get tired of sin and you just get tired of it. That's the problem of the weary. And the fourth stanza tells us of the pain of the wayward. No hurt like the pain of a wayward child of God. He said, my soul is sick and my heart is sore. My strength renew, my hope restore. He said, my soul is sick. My soul is sick, my heart is sore. Man, what a terrible way to be. He said, my strength renew, my hope restore. He said, my soul is sick. When you get sick in your soul and you're sore in your heart, you're about ready to come back to the Lord. You're about ready. Here's a man. This man writing this song has been there, brother. If you don't feel this way, you ain't ready yet. Have you ever talked to anybody? Listen, I've visited people in the jail. I've visited people in rehab. And when they have this attitude like this, I don't even waste my time with them. Amen. I went and visited a man here in the lockup here a while back. I didn't talk to him 5 minutes. I didn't even pray with him. I ain't wasting my time. I ain't going to stand out in the cold and waste my time on somebody that's got this attitude. I didn't do nothing. And you're in an orange jumpsuit and you're behind bars. See ya. I'll talk to you later. I'll wait till you're crying on your hands and knees and you're blubbering and you're blowing snot bubbles and then we'll talk. When you say, I did it, I did that and a whole bunch of other stuff. Amen. Amen. Like Flip Wilson said, whatever they say I done, I done it. Amen, brother. And then some. Here's a man, brother, that's broken. He was broken. He said, my soul is sick and my heart is sore. My strength renewed. My hope restored. Too many have broken lives or grief-stricken, broken heart. Brother, when you reach the place, the Bible said God can restore a man with a broken heart and a broken spirit.
Amen.
Protection is found with God. No other place. When you get out from under the protection of God, you're in trouble. But the Bible said he's nigh to them that are of a broken heart and save such and be of a contrite spirit. But when you're out from under that and you got that cocky attitude, you didn't do nothing wrong, you're in bad trouble. You're in danger. You think about Samson. The Bible talks about Samson. He lost his hair and he lost everything. He lost his testimony and his strength. His power. We just think he lost his strength and all that. But you think about every day they put his eyes out and they put him that grinding meal and he's grinding all day long at the meal, and they made sport of him, and they watched him grind all day long. And you think about every day as he went around pulling that grist mill or whatever it was, pulling that big old concrete thing around, and them cheering and hollering, making fun of him. Every day as he went around through there, him thinking what it used to be like, all the regret. I've made a mess of my life. I've messed my life up so bad. It didn't used to be like this. Lord, I've got myself in this mess. He finally got to a place where he realized and he admitted it wasn't somebody else's fault. I've got myself here. I've put myself here. And that's when he finally repented. Look what it cost him. It cost him his eyes. It cost him his testimony. It cost him his strength. It cost him his life. Did you know you getting out of the will of God can cost you your life? It cost him his life. He lost it all. He remembered. Fifth stanza tells us of the plea of the wretched. He said, my only hope, my only plea, that Jesus died and died for me. Oh. Not only did he die, Brother Jeff, he died for me.
Amen.
Not only did he die, I like that part. These two stanzas ain't in your book. They left them out. Hey, not only did he died for me. That's when you get saved, when you realize it's a personal thing. Hey, the night I got saved, I realized it wasn't that Jesus died for the whole world collectively. He died for me individually. Hey, brother, the plea of the wretched, my only hope, my only plea. He said, the only hope I have is that Jesus died and that he died for me. Oh, brother, hey, he said it wasn't Buddha. It wasn't Muhammad. It was not all the great religions of the world. It was Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, that died on the cross and shed his blood. He died. He died. He died for me. He died to save my soul. He died to redeem me. I'm a fallen man. He died to redeem me. Hey, brother, listen. That's the plea of the wicked, the wretched, the dying. He died for me. Thank God, that's the only hope you have. Ephesians 2:12 said, at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in this world. You have no hope this morning. None. Preacher, you paint a bleak picture. That's the way it is. You have no hope, and you're without God. The only strand of hope you have. There's no hope in the Pope. No hope in the Pope. Whether if this Pope resigns or drops dead and they put another in, it don't matter. There ain't no hope in no Pope. Whoever they put in, there ain't no hope in him. He's just another man. He's just another man like me. They could put Sam Kirkle in as a Pope. It wouldn't matter. They could put Jeff Ellis in. They could put Heath in for the Pope. It wouldn't matter. Just another man. He ain't no more holy than you are.
Amen.
Bible said there's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Only difference with him, he's got a funny looking nuts hat and a white robe and a cool looking Pope mobile. I'd at least put a 396 in it, some big white racing slicks on the back. I'd soup it up a little, wouldn't you, Clint? I'd make it lay some rubber.
Amen.
I'd put some glass packs on it or something. It looks kind of gay, I mean, you know. I'll make it pop a wheel or something. But I'm telling you this morning, there ain't no hope and no pope because he's just a man. But I'm telling Jesus Christ, he is the hope of mankind. He is your hope. He's the only hope you have. Just cry out to him and trust him for your sins and for forgiveness, and he'll save you. He'll forgive you of everything you've ever done. He's the only one that can forgive you. And the sixth stanza, the last one is the prayer of the wise. That sixth stanza says this, I need his cleansing blood, I know. Oh, wash me whiter than the snow. Lord, I'm coming home. Ronnie, come to the piano. He said, I need his cleansing blood, I know. Oh, wash me whiter than the snow. Now, if a man comes to that realization and realizes that he needs to be washed in the cleansing blood of the Lamb, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. I wish you could get people to understand religion can't help you. You know, it's sad. We've been watching on the news this past week. I was joking around with some of the preacher buddies of mine. I was texting some of them last week. Was it this week, first of the week, the Pope resigned? Was it this week? I was texting some of them, we might cancel the Jubilee. And they was like, what in the world? If I said the Pope stepped down, they won't nobody be able to come. Everybody be depressed. I was joking with them, you know. But it's sad that millions of people really are. Really? Their whole lives are hanging in the balance. About one man stepping down and another man stepping up. Just another man. But our God is seated up in heaven at the right hand of power. And he's just sitting there right now. And he is our advocate. And you call on his name, you don't have to go to the Vatican in Rome, Italy. Amen. And you don't have to confess to another man. You can come here to this altar and pray, and the Holy Spirit will carry your prayer to him, and he'll be your intercessor. You don't have to talk to Brother Ronnie or Brother Sam or Brother DeWitt or Brother Ted. You don't have to talk to none of us and confess your sin. You can talk to him directly. Because if you confess your sin to me, I can't help you. Because I'm just another man. I'm just another sinner. That's the beauty of this whole thing about salvation. See, that thing they're doing is religion. Religion. See, religion could be, you go out here and break a stick off of a tree and start praying to it, and that'd be a religion. You go out here and get a rock and make it your God, and we'd all start praying to it, and that'd be a new religion, a rock religion. It's just something you believe in. Evolution is a religion. Atheism is a religion. It's humanism. We believe in ourselves, a higher, you know. But salvation is we believe in God. Jesus Christ became God, or God became man, and came down here and did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. Amen. Did you know that Christianity is the only, if you want to call it religion, only religion in the world where a man or woman believes that they're presently, right now, saved, justified, right now on planet Earth. Amen. Right now. We don't have to wait till we get up yonder to find out if we're saved. Every religion in the world believes you don't know yet if you're saved till you get up there. Every religion on planet Earth except us. Bible-believing Christians, the only one believes, 1 John 5:13. We believe right now we're justified, we're saved. We're just as saved as if we was already in heaven. We ain't no more saved after we die than we are now.
Amen.
Ain't that something? That's why we shout. We don't shout because we're good. We don't shout because we're better than anybody. We shout because we're saved, man. Right now, we're saved, born of the Spirit, washed in His blood, on our way to heaven. We're just as saved as if we was already there. Because of Him. Not because of us, in spite of us.
Amen.
Because y'all are so good? No. Because we ain't no count. He's wonderful. Counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We're nothing. He's everything. But we're saved anyway. Because of Him. Lord, I'm coming home. Let's stand this morning. Maybe you need to come home about something this morning. Maybe you're saved. You just need to come home to the Lord. Would you come this morning? Heavenly Father,